Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services. Walker Medical Linen specializes in bed linens, towels, scrubs, and lab coats. Family owned and operated for over 140 years. Find out why hospitals of all sizes, surgery centers, and medical clinics trust Walker Medical Linen. Online at walkermls.com.
Time to talk with our Major League Baseball insider, Buster Olney. Good morning, Buster. How are you?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
Well, we're just here sweating out the latest rounds of conference realignment in sports and thinking about, boy, if you're Vanderbilt, you know, I don't know if they were setting this whole thing up in today's landscape, Buster, if your alma mater would be anywhere on the map between these super conferences of the SEC and the Big Ten, but you're already in, so you don't have to sweat things out the way that teams around here have to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I feel for other schools who are going through that. I can't imagine being an alum of some of these schools and, you know, all of the parts of the rivalries that you valued and the games that you were excited about, and suddenly all those, you know, don't mean anything. And that would drive you crazy. You know, the good thing for Vanderbilt is that we know our station. We get beat up in football. We do pretty well in basketball generally over the arc of time because you only need a couple, three guys to be good at that. And then now we're the standard when it comes to baseball. Let's face it.
That's academics help. I mean, everyone always says the SEC doesn't care about academics, but they can always point to, hey, we got Vanderbilt. Tell us we don't care, right?
See, I can't say that. I don't like saying that, but I can think it.
Yeah. I said it for you.
There you go. Yeah, you didn't have to say it, Buster.
As a guy who went to Oklahoma who's walking into the SEC to grab money, I can say, well, you know, Vanderbilt's there. That's good for the old GPA for everyone, I guess.
Well, and let me be real here, too, okay? Whatever advantage Vanderbilt brings academically in terms of GPA to the rest of the conference, I did not contribute to that.
I find that hard to believe, Buster. It's just journalism, after all. You know, like it was not like studying engineering. Hey, Buster, let's get into some topics here with the Kansas City Royals before we move on to the big things around the rest of the league. Look, the Royals, you know, they're more than 20 games under 500 now. The stat that we threw out there today, this came from Sam McDowell. The Royals lost a game in which they scored 7-plus runs last night, which means they're now tied for the Major League Baseball lead with 6 times this year they've lost a game when scoring 7 or more runs. The thing that makes that really noteworthy is that they're 21st in games in which they've scored 7 more runs. So they don't score 7 very often, but even when they do, they find a way to lose. This is just—it's just one of those years, and so it's not going anywhere. So we're wondering about trades, and the first name we've been talking about him for a while is Benintendi, and he continues to play well. What kind of a market are we still looking at? Has it changed much over the last month for Andrew Benintendi?
No, I think he's definitely—he's a player coveted by other teams. You know, he's a guy who, you know, will help to balance out a lineup with the Toronto Blue Jays, for example, who have a historically right-handed lineup in terms of the matchups that they see. In other words, opposing teams are just lining up right-hander after right-hander after right-hander because it's such a right-handed dominant lineup. Now, if they traded for Benintendi, that wouldn't necessarily discourage other teams away from starting right-handers. But I think it would at least make opposing managers think when it came to relief changes, because Benintendi's having a terrific year, you know, hitting over 300 on base percentage close to 400. He's got tons of experience. He's a good outfielder. He's been in the postseason. So the Blue Jays, I think, certainly as we go forward, are an option. He makes so much sense for the Yankees. Like, if you're sitting here with the Yankees, here's the other thing I've heard from other executives, too, is that when you look at the Yankees roster, they got some age on it. Like, you could see the decline coming within a couple of years for some of their players. And so when you make this midseason trade for a guy, you don't want to expend a lot of minor league resources. Benintendi, because he's a rental, because he's headed for free agency in the fall, is not going to be as expensive as, say, calling the Pirates to ask about Brian Reynolds. So I think that the Royals are going to do well because they've got, you know, a handful of teams potentially in the mix to add, you know, a left-handed hitter like Benintendi.
Is that something where, like, the Royals might have to sweeten the pot, like, you know, throwing in maybe a bullpen piece or something like that? Or you think this is just one of those things where it's Benintendi and perhaps some cash or minor league or something like that? Or is this, can they do something bigger with more pieces in a trade?
Yeah, and to access, you know, the high-end guys or even have a chance to access the high-end guys, they would certainly have to think about doing that because no team is going to give up, you know, a superstar prospect for Benintendi. You know, he's not that tight. He doesn't bring that type of power. And he's, as we talked about, he's a rental. And teams are not paying whopper prices for rentals unless, you know, it's like last year when the Dodgers got Max Scherzer and Trey Turner. That's a different beast completely. You're going to get a pretty good player, you know, and I'm just pulling something out of the air here. I think you probably can count on getting like a B-plus prospect, someone who's going to help you in the big leagues, but you're not going to get a superstar. So, yeah, if you're the Royals and you want to attempt to access the higher end, potentially you could, you know, throw that out to other teams. Look, you can do Benintendi, but maybe there's some other parts in the roster we can get and that gets us a better prospect. I think that's easier said than done.
Right.
So one of the names I was thinking of, Buster, when we were texting back and forth about this trade market, is, you know, J.J. Pecola says he wants to be aggressive. His tendency is to be aggressive. Zach Greinke had a rough game yesterday against his former team, the Astros. He gets up 6 runs in 5 innings. His ERA is up to 4.85 now. He's actually been pitching pretty well, I feel like, for the Royals before yesterday. He's a veteran. I don't know if the Royals are even interested in trying to shop him, but he's a rental as well. And there is just not much starting pitching out there. Do you think there would be any market for him? Do you think the Royals could or should try to dangle him out there?
Yeah, I think they should ask what they're going to get. But, you know, I had a conversation with a general manager the other day about one of his pitchers who doesn't have the experience of Greinke. He's not going to be a Hall of Famer the way Greinke is. But, you know, the guy's a decent pitcher. And this general manager said to me, look, I'm just not going to just move that guy for the sake of moving him to get, you know, the and this is my phraseology, you know, the B-minus prospect. You know, that isn't going to make a difference for us. And I wonder if the Royals, given all the struggles they've had this year, you know, the fact that the team is losing in manners in which you just mentioned, you know, they're giving up leads. If you're the Royals, you also have to assess the question of how much does Zach Greinke help in terms of culture, in terms of getting the players, you know, moving forward. I personally think that, yeah, Benintendi's going to have some trade value. What they really need to do in the second half, I think above getting any prospect, they need to play better. Like, they need to start getting the whole ship turned around and the expectations turned around for how they play, because the level of failure with this year's team has been absolutely surprising, shocking, and you don't want that to manifest going forward. You don't want that to sort of settle into the veins of the players, you know, going into 2023. And I say that not having been around the Royals, just watching them on television. You guys could speak to it better than I can. I think you have to be concerned about that, given you know, given the failures they've had this year.
Yeah, that is a concern, and that's one of the things I generally, you know, try to check when I get to go out there and talk to Mike Matheny. And he commented last week to us that, you know, these guys are wearing the losses hard, but that's good. You shouldn't be happy with it, but it's pretty somber. It's pretty somber out there. You go out in the clubhouse now. You don't want to be out there playing music and, you know, playing cards before a game when you've lost like 6 out of 8 and looking like you don't care. So there's a fine line on how to kind of go about that thing. But these guys try to leave the bad stuff at the park because they want to go live their lives too. But it can spiral, and you don't want it to go the wrong way. You need to get some sort of infusion. And that's kind of what they tried to do a couple of years ago when they brought in Carlos Santana. He'd been on a winning team. Michael A. Taylor had won a championship, right, with Washington. Benintendi had been a champion with Boston, you know, because they wanted that kind of winning attitude around there. But then COVID happened, and they couldn't build camaraderie. And, you know, I mean, all these different things have kind of conspired against the Royals. But in the end, it's still on them to go out there and win games and pitch better and catch the ball and not get thrown out on the bases and not give up home runs to walk-offs when your best bullpen piece is doing that and lose when you score 7. I mean, it's a big combination of things that go, but attitude is big. And I guess it's okay, but we got a long way to go in this season.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's exactly right.
I was going to say, you don't want the players to get used to losing. And if for it to be, and that's not to say that they don't care, but just that, you know, where you're just going through it. I have covered bad teams in the past, you know, 100 lost teams. And what I've heard from, you know, the manager's coaching staff is that you do need some older guys to kick people in the butt in a good way and get through the second half and get a turnaround. I mean, let's face it, the turnaround is going to come from their young players, you know, from Vinny, from Bobby Witt Jr. That's the muscle behind it. But you also have to keep some stability. And I think if you're the Royals and sitting in their position right now, that to me would be something you're talking about.
So we're visiting with Buster Olney, and one of the things that you watch for now is, you know, guys like Bobby Witt Jr. as young players, you want to see them continue to develop. And, I mean, yesterday was one of those days where, you know, he goes 2 for 5, he has 3 RBIs, he makes a couple of sparkling plays in the field, and then he gets hit on the hand with a pitch. And x-rays are negative, according to the Royals from last night, but there is swelling on his fingers, so they're going to follow up with some more tests today. So you hope that he's okay there. Where does he rank? We talked, Buster, of course, there's this new situation in baseball where you have this increased incentive for your player to get Rookie of the Year because you get relief when it comes to his service time and all that down the road. Where is Bobby Witt Jr. when it comes to the Rookie of the Year race right now?
Yeah, I think he's running in the pack. And look, to this point, anybody who says that this rookie season's been anything other than a success, is out of their minds. Like, when you're looking at a guy on a bad team who is on pace to finish the season with like 70 extra base hits and score 85 runs and drive in 85 runs, finish with 25 homers and, you know, steal over 20 bases, that is a successful year. But I would say the American League Rookie of the Year race, it feels like it's just been taken over. Julio Rodriguez to the Mariners is absurd. Like, every night he's doing something to get himself on SportsCenter, to get himself into the highlights with his power, with his speed. He's just taken off. You know, it feels like during the course of this year, Bobby Witt Jr.'s progress has been glacial. It's been steady. He clearly is getting more comfortable. But Julio Rodriguez, that guy is a monster. To the degree, you know, we were having conversations the other day among our group, because ESPN has the Home Run Derby, we were like, you know what? Let's get that kid in it.
Yeah.
That would be fun. And I think that narrative, this is the time of the year when narratives start to take over, and he has taken over the narrative about American League Rookie of the Year.
I want to ask the question about another young player who's just been dominant against the Royals the last couple of days, and that's Houston's Yordan Alvarez. And he hit the ground running a few years ago. And they, like about a month ago, signed him to a $115 million thing, deal for like 6 years, bought a couple of years of free agency. Houston has done a really nice job of being able to do that with some of their young players. Why has that organization been able to do that and many can't, to buy those years of free agency? And for not insane prices. I mean, they're not giving $300 million here. This isn't some Tatis deal. But they've got it. I mean, Bregman signed a deal, right? Altuve signed a reasonable-ish deal. And now this guy signed a deal. What are they doing so well to get these guys to buy in?
Yeah, I must say, you know, that organization has been at the absolute, you know, it's been a lightning rod for criticism over the last decade because their tanking was more acute than any other team. You know, they had the sign stealing stuff. You know, all the stuff with Roberto Osuna that made you, you know, want to spit your lunch out. You had, you know, the situation with Jeff Lunau. He gets fired. The general manager, A.J. Hinch, gets fired. I got to say, Jim Crane, their owner, he has, in terms of running a baseball business and building a team that's consistently successful, he's done a phenomenal job. There's no other way around it. I mean, think about all the people that they've lost. You know, Carlos Correa and George Springer and Garrett Cole moves on. You know, as I mentioned, the manager, and they just keep rolling along. Guys, they're 4.5 games after that game last night behind the Yankees for best record in the American League. They have the easiest schedule in the second half. I think there's a chance they're going to run them down. It is a phenomenal culture. And I was talking with Alex Cintrone, their hitting coach, recently about Yordan Alvarez, and he said that you can make an argument that right now he's the best pure hitter in baseball. You know, I think coming into the year we might have given Juan Soto that title, but he struggled this year. Yordan Alvarez has put everything together. He's got power. He's got contact. He's shortened his swing up. He's simplified his swing. He's unbelievable. Jose Altuve has returned to where he was, you know, pre-COVID in terms of his production. They find pitching, where they dominated the Angels over the weekend. It is a great team. It's a great culture. And they are absolutely running away with the American League West.
So yeah, like the West and the Central both, Buster, look like one team races. I mean, there's only one team in the West that's above 500. There's only two teams in the Central that are above 500, and Cleveland's only one game over 500, and they have a negative run differential right now. And then everybody but Baltimore in the East looks really, really good. I mean, like that landscape, it kind of, when I look at the standings that way, makes it that much more stark that the Royals are where they are because they're playing in a pretty bad division. That Eastern division is an absolute grinder right now. Does that make it even more impressive what the Yankees have been able to do this year?
To date, and we'll see if they can continue this. You know, one of the amazing things, and coming into the year, you know, knuckleheads like me were talking about their rotation and the question of whether or not they would be overcome by injuries because, you know, Jameson Taillon and Luis Severino have extensive histories. That group of five starters have made all but four starts this year for that team. And, you know, and those are usually, the other four are like, you know, rain out doubleheaders where you start an opener or you call somebody up in the minor league. It's been phenomenal how resilient they've been. Their bullpen's been great. I do think they're going to be aggressive and add a Benintendi, that type of player before the deadline. They're phenomenal. That all said, they got a long way to go. You know, people are already comparing them to some of the great teams of all time. I don't see it. I think eventually, you know, playing in that division will begin to wear on them. And, yeah, they'll win the American League East, but there are many miles to go for that group of players. You know, and it'll be very interesting to see what opposing teams do when it comes to pitching for Aaron Judge. You know, we talked about him being on a 60 home run pace. That has slowed down. I do think that teams are going to be more careful pitching around him, which will mean that other guys have to step up and do damage, whether it's, you know, an Anthony Rizzo, a Giancarlo Stanton, Gleyber Torres.
Well, they're going to win a lot of games. We know that. And in the end, it's all going to get measured in the postseason. Do they look like the kind of team that can succeed in the postseason? Do they have enough pitching to get that part of it done?
Bullpen is phenomenal. Their bullpen, and I think that they'll, again, look, you know, to add somebody like they did last year when they picked up Clay Holmes, who that was, you know, arguably one of the two or three best relievers in baseball with that heavy sinker that he throws. Yeah, I think so. You know, to have Aaron Judge be as good as he is in terms of his strike zone dominance, that's a big factor. I do think that when you look at their lineup, they do need a contact guy. Like, they need, when they add this left-handed hitter, whoever it is, you know, it's got to be less Joey Gallo with the strikeouts and more of a contact hitter, which, and I forgive me for circling back to Benintendi over and over and over again, but he really does check so many boxes for what they need and what they're looking for. You know, the guy who in the, you know, eighth inning against a great reliever when the Yankees are down a run, you want that guy to have a great at-bat, and Benintendi's demonstrated this year that's the type of hitter he's become.
Sounds like we could get you to negotiate this trade.
Benintendi and Barlow.
We got to do this.
Put those two together. You know, give them a little bullpen arm, and let's get something back.
And they've got some young infielders that you want to ask about. I don't think Anthony Volpe's the best of them. You're not going to get him, but maybe there's somebody down the line behind that. And this would be a year, because I mentioned before the Yankees age with their roster. If you're Brian Cashman, their general manager, this is a time when you're going for it. And you're going to be willing to be aggressive.
Hey, let's look briefly on the National League side, too, at a couple races, because in the East, the race between the Mets and the Braves seems to be heating up for a while. It looked like New York was going to run away with that division, but Atlanta's been so good that it is a race now. And then in the Central, Milwaukee and St. Louis have a tight race. Are teams, out of those four teams, because of how tight the race is, do you think they'll be active on the trade market looking to add things?
The Cardinals should be the most aggressive team of all 30. There's so much that you love about the Cardinals. You know, their bullpen arms, the depth of their position players, all these young players, they're integrating the lineup with Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt, but they have a clear, absolute clear need with their pitching staff, and that is they need to add a starter. You know, up until a few days ago, folks with other teams assumed that they would be a front runner in the conversations for Frankie Montas of the Oakland Athletics. He went out of his last start with a shoulder issue. We'll see where that goes. But one way or the other, this team is too good to not add starting pitching. Maybe they can call the Reds hat in hand, a division rival, and say, look, we know you don't typically make deals in the division, but we need Luis Castillo. We got to have that guy. They should do something. We know the Mets will do something because, their owner, Steve Cohen, is loaded. Jacob DeGrom and Max Scherzer came back last night. He looked phenomenal. They'll be getting Jacob DeGrom back sometime around the trade deadline. That'll help. The Braves, to me, are clearly not only the most dangerous team in the National League, but they're also the most dangerous team in baseball. The Braves look like a team that is poised potentially to be the first into the 98 to 2000 Yankees to go back-to-back. They are putting together so well as this season goes along. And we know Alex Anthopoulos, their general manager, will be aggressive before the trade deadline. He made all those deals for outfielders last year, and whatever they need going up to the trade deadline, he will get it done because they have an opportunity to do something special here going back-to-back.
Buster Olney is our guest here from ESPN. We're talking baseball, and you mentioned Scherzer is back. Did I see this right? He's got deferred money coming now from the Nationals forget about Bobby Bonilla's $1 million he gets on July 1st. Did he get $15 million from the Nationals? And then he's got those payments coming. These deferred contracts are genius for these guys. Max Scherzer is probably going to end up being one of the most highly paid baseball players in the history of the game.
Yeah, he is when you get $43 million.
Yeah, I mean, it's wild.
You know, more money than I think the Pirates and the Orioles are paying their entire rosters. And if you know Mac loves to talk finance. Like, he knows a lot about that market. And so whatever deals he's structuring, Scott Boras represents him. But you know, with each of the offers that go back and forth, Max is probably there like, okay, 10% deferral here, and what could that mean down the road? that was mind work. It's phenomenal. He continues to push through and do everything he can to be a Hall of Fame pitcher. And, yeah, I don't think he's going to be taking an Uber up to Cooperstown when he makes his speech up there like the rest of us, trying to find our way through. Yeah, he's going to be riding that personal the plane probably that he's going to own by then, or at least have the opportunity to own.
Uber Jets, they'll have that online by the time he gets into the Hall of Fame. So we'll see where it goes from there. Hey, Buster, thank you so much for the time. As always, we appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, guys. Great to talk with you, as always.
Okay, right, that is Buster Olney.
Let's get this Benintendi trade done.
I mean, it just makes sense. Get a bidding war between the Blue Jays and the Yankees and get something back, right?
Sooner rather than later.
I do think it's an interesting balance, what Buster's talking about there, though, like trying to win games in the second half of the season, how important that is versus getting some talent into the organization. You know, the thing you could say, though, is, well, they've had all these guys. They've had Benintendi. They've had Greinke. They've had Barlow. And they're still losing like crazy. So, like, what's...
They need a star. They just don't have now, and they won the World Series without a star. I mean, they had a bunch of really high level players who had great years, right? Mm-hmm. So, and they were pretty lucky here and there. They everything worked out for them, but none of those guys were like the guy who you were just scared to death of in the lineup. You look at this Houston lineup, and you're scared 3, 4, 5 times, mm-hmm. right? And the, or the Yankees lineup and stuff like that. And the Royals are like, you know, this isn't pitiful. But it's not like, who scares you? Where are you? I mean, Salvi hit 40-some homers last year, but he's hurt. He's not in the lineup. And, yeah, Bobby
and
Witt's having an okay year.
Anybody this year.
Whit Merrifield's just kind of a guy. I mean, even Andrew Benintendi. When Andrew Benintendi is your guy who scares you, he doesn't scare you.
Hey, he's slugging 394. I mean,
it's bringing it, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, you know, that's why they're not winning any games, because they don't have the bashers when you look around at the rest of them. Mm-hmm. And you know it's they need an influx of some other talent, because they
well,
spend
one
a lot of
the things they need
the
is Bobby Witt Jr. to be Vinny Pasquantino and MJ Melendez to turn into those guys.
And MJ Melendez is looking really good, and Bobby Witt's having a nice rookie year, and Vinny Pasquantino's walking sometimes.
But yeah, they look nice. They look nice right now, but they're not. And look, it's not fair to expect Bobby Witt Jr. to go out there and be Julio Rodriguez. It's not like Buster said, you can't say that it's been a disappointment. He's been good.
Yeah.
But he hasn't been somebody you're like, oh man, look out. Look at this kid. A star is born, you know? I mean, and that's so they need those guys to slowly develop into that for sure. And they need to add to it. They need more than what
need
they
more.
Got right now.
Because if you're going to do it with a bunch of guys who are pretty good, you need a bunch of guys who are pretty good and nothing that's just like not very good.
Yep. Yep, that's right. All right, we'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. To some more baseball with Mike Boddicker coming up in the next hour. We got Todd Lebo in studio with us. Stephen St. John is in Lake Tahoe.
I think we're going to hear from him at some point here today.
That's what we're told. We're told.
It's
we'll
5:30
see.
Out there right now. We'll
we got to start
minute.
Seeing some pictures of the celebs out there. Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes with...
Marco got a picture from Stephen last night.
Did he? I didn't get that picture.
Not I guess it's kind of a celebrity photo.
It's a celebrity photo. It was on the producer's text string, because there were a lot of things flying on who's coming on the shows and all that stuff. And it was a picture of Sarin saluting the camera. It was the picture.
Should we make Sarin and Steven arm wrestle for guests?
Well, or they'll both get hurt.
Yeah.
Trying to do that.
Steven with his shoulders. He's at surgically repaired shoulders.
Yeah. So that's the only picture I've seen from Steven.
Okay.
We're not publishing that one. It's not getting out there.
It's not getting, but we're talking about it on the air, though.
Yeah, it's different. That's different. So I'm looking through some of this conference stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And we were talking before about just populations. And, you know, Texas is the second biggest state in the union, population-wise. 30 million people in the state, basically.
Behind California?
Yeah. But California? If you're going to rank the interest in college programs in that state, the Big 12 doesn't have the big ones, right?
Yeah, just because you're in Texas doesn't mean you own Texas.
Right.
Like Abilene Christian's in Texas, but if you're not going to try to get them in your conference.
TCU, Tech, and Baylor, and adding Houston, you're adding, at best, one of those might be the third. One of those is probably the third most, but it's far down the list of Texas and Texas A&M as far as what you have there. And like I said, Central Florida is a big school, and they're getting some passionate fans. And you know, Florida's got 20 million population. That's a big state, right? A lot of people. But they're probably fourth at best as, you know, college programs in the state that people care about. So you're not getting the top of the tops, right?
Yeah.
So they definitely have the most popular two schools in the state of Kansas as far as football goes. But Wichita State's got plenty of basketball fans. And that's a the biggest city in Kansas. But they got fans all over. So I think they have cornered the market on the less than 3 million people who live in Kansas. And they got the second most popular school in Iowa. And that's a little bit bigger than Kansas. For people who don't know, Iowa's bigger than Kansas population-wise. There's more people live there than live in Kansas. And they got the second most popular school in Oklahoma, which has a much bigger population. Like 4 million people live in Oklahoma instead of like just under 3 million live in Kansas. But they got number one with a bullet in West Virginia because they got West Virginia. You know how many people live in West Virginia?
God, it can't be very many.
1.8 million people.
That's it?
I mean, it's like way smaller than Kansas.
Well, because, you know, like...
There's nowhere to live. It's hills,
you can't live there.
Yeah.
You know, like, Bob Davis had a great line when, when we started traveling to West Virginia. He'd go, well, you can't get there from here.
No.
You know? Because, like, if you travel for football, you had to fly into Pittsburgh and then take a two-hour bus into Morgantown through all these little mountain, you know, village towns. And it's not like... Man, West Virginia. And the thing about West Virginia, too, is that they're not like pretty mountains, to me anyway.
Stripped down.
Yeah, they're just kind of like these kind of not very tall mountains that are all the exact same height, you know? But it's just...
Sort of pretty. They're not big peaks.
No, but they're tough enough to get to. And yeah, so nobody lives there. All right. 1.5 million?
1.8 million people live there.
So Kansas is a densely populated state compared to West Virginia.
Yeah, you know. And then if you just look around, I mean, like we mentioned North Carolina and South Carolina. So many, those are growing states.
There's many people live in North Carolina?
Like 10 million people. There, that's like well over twice as big as Kansas. Now they got it divided up.
Big.
They got a lot of schools there that people care about. You know, North Carolina, Duke, NC State, Wake Forest. I mean, there's a bunch of that. South Carolina has a bunch. They have 5 million people live in South Carolina. That's way bigger than Kansas and Iowa. So even the little states, you think of Alabama is just like Alabama's got 5 million people living in it. You know, so that's part of the problem that's for these TV companies. Now, maybe that can be fixed, like we said, with the streaming and all that. But if you come from a small place that are smaller schools that are kind of regional, do people care to watch whatever your game is somewhere else? That's what they've been up against. And that's the bad part because, you know, like, listen, Missouri's got more people than Kansas. And Missouri is the big school in Missouri. It's like 6 million people almost live in Missouri. That's why they were appealing to the SEC in the day. And obviously getting into the state of Texas was monstrous for the SEC. That's why A&M was so big for them. And they're making the other move, and they're taking the other kingpin from the state of Texas into the SEC, and they're taking the name program in Oklahoma. And we were talking about this during a break. You don't have to have a bunch of alums. Yeah, we're talking about there's 500,000 like living alums from Ohio State or whatever, it's a big school. If you just got a place that people love the thing, like the state of Oklahoma, they didn't all go to Oklahoma. They got fans. It's the thing. It's the pro town. It's the pro football down there. Same thing with like Kansas basketball. We always joke or whatever about you don't have to go to school there. That's what Alabama is. Everyone who lives in Alabama didn't go to Alabama, okay? But they love Alabama. And I'm going to tell you something. They really love Alabama football.
I
mean,
really?
It really does mean more. I mean, they really love that stuff. And that's
the, they poison each other's trees and stuff.
Passion factor is what you can't measure when you're looking at strict numbers on TV homes and all that stuff.
But I do think like market relevance or whatever is something that is real. I mean, so one thing I would say, you know, you talk about the population size of the state of Kansas. I do think that we ought to just factor in the whole KC metro area.
You have to. And that's you know, that's why we still have the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City. Because it doesn't happen in Kansas.
Yeah.
It happens in an SEC state.
Because,
you know, quote, air quotes.
Yeah.
But you have to populate, because people who live on both sides of the state line love Kansas or K-State.
Yeah, there's a
or Missouri.
There's a massive amount of people who live on the Missouri side that are Kansas or mm-hmm. Kansas State fans. Just like there's a lot of Missouri fans that live on the Kansas side. If you live in Kansas City, you might as well be from both states.
Right.
You know, and so I do think you can expand the size of the state of Kansas a little bit just by going if you added the whole metro area, but that's what, a million people you add to it? So maybe four. And the flip side is what you just talked about. Kansas City does have professional sports.
Right.
We do have the Chiefs here. We do have the Royals. And even Sporting Kansas City gets into that penetration to the market a little bit. When you're Alabama, it's Alabama. That's what it is.
And like some NASCAR.
Yeah. But you know,
that's it.
Yeah. When you're Oklahoma, it's Oklahoma.
And the
Thunder, they've got the Thunder.
That, and that's new, and that's affected.
That has affected the basketball market there.
100%.
People don't go to Oklahoma State games the way they used to in basketball. Mm-hmm. And Oklahoma basketball has never probably been that big of a deal, but it's definitely affected that. But there isn't professional football there.
Yeah.
You know, and that's probably part of why, like, you know, KU and K-State basketball, big, because there's no NBA team here.
Yeah.
You know, and so that part matters, too.
It's the biggest thing in the world. In Mississippi and in Alabama and in, you know, parts of Florida. Like, Florida football is bigger than the Jags probably still. And, like, maybe in Jacksonville.
Tennessee football is bigger than the Titans probably.
Than the Titans, for sure. And I, you know, Zach Klein, our buddy who went to KU, used to work here with us.
He was my sports director at KJHK my first year of college.
He's been in Atlanta for a long time now.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked to him many times. If they could, honestly, in that town, because there are so many transplants from somewhere else, Falcons are a big deal, Braves are a big deal, you know, whatever. But they could talk, if he could lead with Georgia football for half the year, he would, because that is a big deal in Atlanta. Atlanta is one of the big cities where, you know, the college part of it registers. It doesn't register in L.A., doesn't register in Chicago as much, New York as much. It does in Dallas and Houston. But still, I mean, the Cowboys still dominate, you know, the Dallas market.
Right.
But down there, Georgia football is a big damn deal. And they're not even in Atlanta. It's a much bigger deal than Georgia Tech, which is actually in Atlanta. So there are complicated parts of this. You just can't look at the raw numbers and say there are this many people live here, because that's what the whole point is with New York City. It's the biggest city, and they don't care about Rutgers there. But the Big Ten cared about getting the Big Ten network on I think they were a Spectrum City. I can't remember which one they were, or Time Warner, whatever the biggest mm-hmm. thing. They wanted it on there just so that it was there. It didn't matter if you watch it. But now you're going to have to start people paying you money to pay for ESPN Plus or some extra tier of MLS or an extra tier of, if they're going to add some things onto Fox that cost some more money, like the Royals are dealing with now, trying to get people to give them $19.99 a month for Bally Sports Plus so you can watch the Royals, the Thunder, and the Blues. That is a bad combination of three things that you're paying for, because only one of them is here. The other two are somewhere else. Bally Sports Plus makes sense to me in some cities. I think they're doing it in Detroit. That makes sense. You want to watch 60 Pistons games, 150 Tigers games, and 70 Red Wings games? $19.99 sounds pretty good for that. It doesn't sound real good to watch 157 Royals games and some Blues games that you don't care about, or some Thunder games that you don't care about, right?
Yeah. And that's part of the changing market, too, is it used to be so important to be, like you said, to be on the MSG network or to be on whatever, because you wanted people to have access to your games to, you know, these people might stumble upon it. People don't stumble upon their sports anymore. They seek out what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the audience become like, what is, I think we're going to grow more and more of an audience of niches where you're a soccer guy, you got all your soccer. You're a football guy, you got all your football. You're a tennis, you know, like, you're going to watch what you want to watch because you're going to have to seek it out, and you're going to have to pay for that package, whatever it is.
Oh, it's gotten complicated. But that's why ESPN Plus, in my mind, works. And they've kept it at a reasonable-ish number, because you can watch a lot of stuff.
You
on
can
there.
Stumble on things at ESPN.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times if I'm sitting around and I've got some, you know, like a lot of times in the evenings, my viewing habits I know are a little different than the average person's, but. So I've got my multi-TV set up in the basement so that I can keep track of the things I'm supposed to keep track of for my job. And so, like,
you're very fancy.
And I'm very fancy. But I'll go downstairs to the basement in the evening and get my laptop out to start doing some prep work for a sporting game. And I'll look and I'll, okay, what games are on? You know, and, you know, you look at your schedule. You kind of, I follow the teams I'm supposed to follow. Okay, well, I've got the Royals on here. Okay, is there something else on I should be watching?
Just go to ESPN Plus.
I'll just go to ESPN Plus and see what games are on.
What's live? What's
and
here?
You can see, like, oh, there's this game, this game, this game. Oh, I didn't realize that was on right now. And then you flip that on. ESPN Plus is the one place that you really do that. Mm-hmm. The other places that stream stuff, you're kind of looking for something if you're going there. You know, like if you get on Paramount Plus right now, you're getting on there for a reason. Like, I get on there because I know there's going to be some Champions League on there right now, you know, whatever. You're not just going to turn it on and say, hey, what game's on tonight?
The current games are on, some of those, you know, those things there.
Yeah.
But ESPN, yeah, you click to it and you go,
they
all
have
right,
enough games where you
depending
just put
on the time
on.
Of year, yeah. It could be hockey, it could be soccer.
I'll tell you, I stumble on whatever. Big 12 women's basketball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
college baseball was all over it.
Yeah, like that's something that I'm interested in, but it might not be on my list of notes. Like, oh, I need to make sure I watch this game today. But if I turn it on, I say, oh, wow, KU's playing Oklahoma in women's basketball. That's a good game. Mm-hmm. I'll watch that.
Yeah.
You know, and
well, they spent the most money.
Have
they have the most properties, and then they've smartly or sinisterly, whatever. Bundled it up with things that people's kids want. You want to get all the Disney so you can watch the Pixars and the Marvels and all the Star Wars things that are happening. And then, you know, they've got it with Hulu to make it. I mean, it's really, I'm not doing some commercial here for it. It's a cheaper deal when you talk about what you're getting. You pay $14 for that, and you've got a lot of options. And then maybe for somebody who doesn't need the regular TV part, that's what the Marcos of the world are going, doing. They're not paying Spectrum or Charter Communications or name the cable company. Could be anything wherever you live, right?
I don't know. You tell me. Who's still around? Is Sure West still operating?
Could be. Sure West could be there. I don't know. Or YouTube TV even. Or like even Hulu Live. I mean, a lot of these people are just like, I'm just looking for a little content to have fun, and they're not as married to the things that people our age were married to, watching a show or this or that or the other, and you wanted to watch it the night it's on, and people don't care anymore. They're just like, they don't know what a TV network is. Like, it could be a Netflix show, a Netflix original, or a Hulu original, or an Amazon Prime original. It's not like, oh, this is on ABC.
All the networks are scrambling to catch up with all those streaming services.
Exactly.
Now. They're launching Peacock Plus and Paramount Plus and everything to try to catch up to the Hulus and Netflixes and Amazon Primes of the world.
Don't watch what you wish for, because you might get it, which is what all we wanted was choices, and now the choices cost more money than the thing where we were forced to pay for it. So
usually things don't end up costing less in life.
No, they don't.
It's very rare that the economy works out to where it's like, you know, hey, this is all going to cost you less.
You know what you can do? You can always just not pay for any of it. I mean, you can.
And
we give this away for free.
Yeah.
Get your radio, man.
Get that app out,
get
baby.
Get your AM radio.
You can
in your
also
car.
Do. You can also like go outside.
Go outside on the ground. You can
get some fresh air. Get your hands in the earth.
And the one good thing that's there, like you live in Kansas City, and you just need something. If you got a TV and you get yourself, you know, a little $19 antenna, you can watch stuff. You can watch every damn Chiefs game for the most part. Pretty good.
If I didn't work with a co-host who was so obsessed with television shows and get on me for not watching them enough, I might get rid of some of these things.
I'll tell you
but
this.
I feel like I need to start. We started watching The Offer, by the way.
See, it's
we're
great.
Only one episode in, though,
it's
so
it's
far.
Good. Yeah. It's good. My wife, honestly, would have the antenna that's in our attic, and she knows how to turn those on, so she can watch 4, 5, 9, 38, 41, 20. That she doesn't care about anything.
Yeah.
She wouldn't pay a nickel for anything.
It's the sports that gets me subscribed and everything.
Yeah.
That's why. And I like watching sports. So what's wrong with that?
It's the way that I can record Jeopardy as well, because I'm not home at 3:30 when it's on.
Back after this with a weather forecast from Gary Lezak on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's time for a weather forecast from the one and only Gary Lezak. Good morning, Gary.
Is Boddicker there yet?
Yeah, he's here. He's really excited.
Oh, why do you put 30% chance of rain up there when you know it's not going to rain here?
If I knew it was not going to rain, I'd go 0% chance of rain. You know I do that.
Every time you say 30% chance of rain, it never rains.
I'd say 70% of the time it doesn't.
Right. Jeez. When you got me all pumped up last night in the 10 o'clock news. I thought, okay, Lezak knows what the heck's going on here. There's a chance we get 30%. Be prepared tomorrow morning. Yeah, right.
Look outside.
It's cloudy. So that was I was
it's cloudy. That doesn't mean it's raining, Gary.
30% chance it could, though. I was looking at Marco like, I don't think we should be playing Blue Skies because it's not really Blue Skies, but we need a song called Partly Cloudy, which I don't think there's a... We have like Stormy Monday and Riders on the Storm and songs about
stormy
snow,
weather.
But we don't have...
Partly 30, cloudy. 30% chance of rain.
All right, here's what I'm going to do. We're going to make a song.
Grub Ruppin sounds like a song from Grub Ruppin.
We have a song called Sunny Rain. I like it when it's raining and it's sunny.
That's kind of cool.
But we need a song called Partly Cloudy.
My uncle Ben Pringle, retired meteorologist from Cake News in Wichita, his son Nolan was in a garage band. And you know what the name of the garage band was, Gary?
Partly Sunny.
Virga.
No way.
Yeah.
Is this weather geek stuff?
It's weather geek stuff. What's Virga, Gary?
Virga is rain that is falling. You can see the rain shaft up there way up high, but it evaporates before reaching the ground, and that's called Virga.
Mm. Hey, Gary, Virga. I got a call last night from my nephew saying that they were expecting another major windstorm up home.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And where is that exactly?
Cedar Rapids.
Yeah, Iowa yesterday had one of those bow echo derecho type events.
That's what he was saying. They were all panicking up there. They were thinking they were getting another derecho.
Yeah, but it's not like that one from a couple of years ago where they had 100 mile per hour winds. This one was 55, 60 miles per hour. There's a difference between 60 mile per hour winds and 100 mile per hour winds, you can imagine.
Or like 40 miles an hour?
Well, it depends. 30% chance.
True. Absolutely true. So what's the status on Bobby Witt's wrist?
We don't know.
It's his finger. It was his finger. Hit him on the hands.
Negative, but I would
negative x-ray. Swollen finger, though, so there's something going on there.
I would.
He swung.
Yeah, he got hit by a fastball in the fingers. It's going to be swollen.
I'd guess he's probably not playing today.
His eye-hand contact, it was not very good because he's on that one. He is the number one reason I can watch the Royals right now, we don't need him to get hurt. He is it's a great reason to watch the Royals right now when he plays.
There are very few reasons.
Really.
Melendez, I mean, three home runs last year.
Melendez, a little bit. Pasquantino can walk. We found that out.
Bod says he wants to spend the next hour talking about the pitching, and he's got some.
Oh, God.
Oh, my goodness. That'll be 1 minute hour.
I've got an article about starting pitching. I'm going to read to Boddicker in the next segment if you really want to.
The same way you want to aggravate Gary by getting on him.
I never aggravate Gary. I just tell him the truth. I tell Gary the truth.
He doesn't want to hear 30% chance of rain because it's too frustrating for him, you know. And so, I usually go 100% or zero, but this is one of those 30% days. Right now, Mike, on radar. There's a small little shower right
St. Joe.
Up near Lansing. There's one little one just northeast of Excelsior Springs. There's a heavy downpour with a little bit of lightning near Chillicothe and one up near Trenton.
All right. Well, Chillicothe's barely the viewing area.
Yeah.
I was giving you a break on
Lansing.
You're
grasping for straws.
Here's
right
what
there,
you
Gary.
Need. We
go,
need
a...
I want
to talk to Chillicothe. Hello, everyone in Chillicothe.
We love Chillicothe.
Right now, oh, yeah.
Love it. Highway 36.
All of our listeners.
Here's the deal. I want you to provide a microcast for Mike Boddicker, wherever he is, within about a mile. You can do that. Right, you just need the microcast for Boddicker.
Can I tell you why I'm mad at Lebo right now?
Why?
Because he said that something about if you're watching channel 4, 5, 9, 38, or 41. Why is 41 last?
I was doing it in order of the numbers. That's why I said it.
Do it in reverse order then.
Okay.
Lebo probably doesn't even know that you had the dogs on TV last night.
Pictures. I was asleep because I had to wake up in the morning. I didn't see the dogs
so was
last
it.
Night.
I woke up too.
You weren't here at 5:30.
I was listening.
You weren't here.
I was awake.
Making
I was ready
coffee
to,
with Marco.
I had my phone ready listening to the...
Gary, haven't you ever heard the phrase, you save the best for last?
Yeah. There you go.
I got a dad joke for last. Thanks.
You better bring it because it's getting late.
Normally, I would be leaving right now, so I didn't have to listen to this, but Buster bumped me, so I'll listen. Go
it's
ahead.
Almost nap time, bud.
Yeah, it's almost nap time. Yeah.
So anyway, we asked the question, 0 degrees or 100 degrees, if you had to choose.
Zero.
Which extreme would you choose?
Zero.
Zero?
Yeah.
Guys?
What was it, 67 to 30-some last night you had?
67%. Well, 63%.
Yeah,
to me, the answer to that is it depends.
It depends?
What am I doing?
Just living.
It you have to choose.
Either
one.
Way, you're going to stay in the house. What difference
I'll
does it make?
I'll go to the pool if it's 100 degrees out anytime. I love going to the pool when it's 100 degrees out. What's that?
But there's no depends. You have to choose one. Which one would you choose?
You're on the spot here, Nate.
100 degrees. I could be outside in 100 degrees.
Right.
I can't be outside when it's zero. I mean, I can, but I don't. What am I going to do outside that's fun when it's 100 degrees out?
Hunt.
Or when it's zero, I mean.
Hunt.
Hunt when it's zero?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Good.
Nah.
Get
the animals up moving.
Get out of here.
They don't want to lay there in the cold.
They got to eat. Stay warm.
Yeah, I'm with zero because I love snow so much. I mean,
I'm not a snow person, but I this 100-degree stuff's killing me.
Yeah. Are we going to get to be a really 100 today?
Yeah,
no. Okay. Do you know when the last 100-degree was? Last 100-degree day. Was July the 12th,
it's like
2018.
I was going to say it's like 3 or 4 years. We were talking about this yesterday. The summer of 1980 was the hot summer around here.
Yeah.
We were like 17 days in a row over 100.
Yeah, that's right. 1980 was a hot summer, 1988, 2012, but those are rare. Yesterday was only 94 degrees. This is not even going to be a heat wave.
Not even a heat wave.
The last 0 degrees was a couple years ago. It was not zero this winter. It was 1 degree. On January 2nd, the day after I took that picture where the dog's paws are in the air because they're frozen. And that's the picture I chose to do. But today, no 100. These clouds are going to help out a little bit, somewhere between 92 and 95 for today's high temperature. The heat index will be about 105, so just drink lots and lots of water. It's summer. It's summer in Kansas City. We're having a humid one. And fall is just 2 months away, so I'm looking forward to that, believe me. Okay, one dad joke.
Let's
you
go.
Ready?
Yes.
I strictly forbid my kids from watching orchestras. Why?
I don't know why.
There's too much sax and violins.
Greg Gurley just sent us a dad joke that we're not going to say on the air.
That's
way funnier than that one.
That's a creepy uncle joke is what that is. That's not a dad joke. That's creepy uncle Greg joke.
Oh, my God.
I want a creepy uncle Greg joke.
No, you don't.
We'll
text it to you later. How about that?
Okay. All right, good. Thank you, guys.
I got a surprise coming Greg Gurley's way, by the way. It's going to be arriving at his mailbox.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Talk to Boddicker next hour. I want to hear all about the pitching.
Yep. I got you.
No, you don't.
I'm going to get this guy wound up. You just
no,
wait,
you
Gary
don't.
Lezak.
All right, back to the way.
No, you don't.
All right.
You guys, that's next hour. But right now, here's Dr. Troy Booth.
Thanks, Gary. As you've known for years, Pro Partners is a different kind of family medicine practice that guarantees direct access to your personal physician literally anytime. If you want the peace of mind of having a doctor who's always available, give Pro Partners a call or check us out on the web at ProPartnersHealthcare.com.
Back after this with Mike Boddicker right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.